3. Proverbs chapter 3. Well, something great happened. I think it was Sunday night. Marcy's been bringing her boyfriend, Renee, and Renee got saved Sunday night. And so Josh had him over. I mean, he must talk to him for hours Saturday. And then Sunday, she came to church, and then after church called Josh again and said, "I need to talk to you." And so he talked, and they talked for several hours again Sunday night. And Josh said before he left his house, Renee was saying, "I'm not leaving your house until I get saved." And he was crying, and he got it. So that's good. That's good stuff. And it just seems to take that. It's like you just have to spend so much time with people. I mean, people, to make that decision it's a big decision. I'm always skeptical if you just tell somebody and they just like, "Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll do that." It's like, probably need to think about it. I don't know if you understand what you're saying. But anyhow, that was good. Josh called me Monday morning, and I was like, "Well, this is a better Monday morning phone call than most." So that's cool. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. It's about generosity and how all that works. And there's a who, what, when here, and the application of faith in the realm of generosity is really what it is. Generosity. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. The Bible says this: "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, 'Go and come again, and tomorrow I will give,' when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee." So this is probably the typical Good Samaritan idea. I mean, just the whole, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan, and the Good Samaritan's Jesus and all that, but the idea that someone who can help does help, and other people, the ones that pass by, they could help, but they don't. And so that's the idea, and it's generosity. And the conditions that are talked about in here are a who, a what, and a when. And that's sort of how we'll break down this outline this evening: the who, the what, and the when. And talk about generosity, who, what, when. But let's pray, and then we'll talk about that. Father, I pray you'd help us this evening. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for Renee. Trust in Jesus Christ. And I pray he'd start living it and just really take hold. It really sound like he really got it. So I pray you'd help us this evening, help us get from your words what we need to get from them. And thank you for everybody that's here this evening. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. So the what is the good, the who is to whom it is due, the when it's in the power of thine hand to do it. So who, what, when, or what, who, when. That's sort of the metric. There's the conditions. So the question is, first question is, what is good? What does that mean? If you say to not withhold good, what is good that you shouldn't be withholding or shouldn't be withholding? There's a couple of verses we can cross-reference to this. Exodus 23 is one, back in the law, but in Exodus 23, if you want to look at it, there's a little cross-reference here about this very thing. And I don't know, A while back, I started going through the law because I just felt like my understanding of it was not correct. And, you know, as a preacher, you make statements about the law, you say things about the law, or compare law and grace and things like that. And so I started going back through the law, and it was, you know, the Lord really, he covers all the bases with the law. He really, I'd be reading and you say, well, what about this situation? And it's like, in this situation, you do this. And it's like, oh, okay. So he already knew somebody would think about this situation. So I'll show you how it pans out here. In Exodus 23, verse 4, it says, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Now, why does he say enemy? Because you would do it for somebody you like, but you wouldn't do it for somebody you don't like. That's why he says enemy. So he says, if you see your enemy's ox or ass that's in the ditch or running around, you bring it back to him again. If thou see, verse 5, if thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldst forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause, so on. But verses 4 and 5 really are the good. I have the ability. I see there's a problem. I can do something about it. The only issue is I don't like this guy. So the Lord says, well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you see something that's wrong, you see property that is his that's wandering around on 181, and the sheriff is after it. If you see his horses running around, and you say, you know what, I'm gonna let him run around. I don't really care. But I mean, if it's his food, if it's his these are the instruments by which families fed themselves and how work got done, and so it's like if you see his car, well, put it this way, if you see his car in the ditch, and you drive by and you say, oh, that's so and so's car. Oh, there he is. He's outside. I'm gonna keep going. That's the idea, and so the Lord, he just takes that off the table. It's like, well, if you see your enemy and your enemy has property and it's in a bind or something, and he's in a bind, and I know what you're going to think is, I don't like that guy, so I'm not going to help him. And the Lord says, well, if it's in your power to do it, and you have the ability to do it, and you're capable of doing it, and you can do it. That's your duty. That's your duty. Now there are some conditions. It's not just like just you know, blindly hand out money and stuff like that. That's not how all this works. But in that situation, that's the good, to help, to render aid, to give if necessary. James chapter 2 verse 15 says it this way. It says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. Boy, that would be rough. I don't think any American knows about that. But there are places in this world where people do know about that. A brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Withhold not good. That's the good, the food, the clothing. And this is somebody who is a brother or sister who doesn't even have a meal to eat on for the day, for a regular. I mean, it's like day to day, hand to mouth, literally hand to mouth, not the end of the month paycheck. This is daily. This is a pretty bad situation, or they don't have clothes. And then you say, oh yeah, brother, I'll go ahead and pray for you. I'm going to be praying for you. And you have clothes and you have food. You know what your prayer means to them? It doesn't mean anything. And it doesn't mean anything to you either, because you're not willing to do anything with what you have. Right. So the what is the good? It's rendering aid, it's rendering help, it's food, it can be clothing, it can be, I mean, you understand what good is. I think you understand what good is. The good are things which are needful for the body. They generally are that. Things that are good for the body. The next question is, or that gets raised in Proverbs, and this becomes pertinent because as a church, we get these kinds of calls regularly. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. So the what is the good, the who is who it's owed to. Who it's owed to. And you have a couple conditions in the Bible, and I'll tell you when. It's been in months, maybe a couple years now, I remember sitting, and we were over at Vallarta, sitting at the breakfast table with a lot of the law enforcement guys and county commissioner, and Mike set this up regularly on Fridays, the sheriff's office have all these guys come in, and it's just breakfast, and everybody just sort of get all the gossip about what's happening in Beeville, you know, what's going on with stuff. And so anyhow, we got to talking, and they're talking about the homeless situation, and it came up. It was an issue, and it probably still is. I don't know all that much about it. Seemed like it's not as big of an issue as it was, but anyhow, it became very clear that people who don't spend their time in church believe a church's responsibility is to pay people's light bills and hand out money. That's what they believe. And so they were talking about, you know, you ought to just bring them in and have them in and that kind of stuff. And then some other, like the Methodist guy, we had this other meeting, and he was complaining. I mean, people were coming in and stealing stuff, and it was just like, I mean, you have to have some discernment. Not everybody is due a paycheck. Not everybody is due. In fact, the Bible says this. If a man doesn't work, what does it say? He shouldn't eat. That'll get him to work pretty quick. If he doesn't have any food, he'll figure out he needs to do something. And so someone who is capable of doing something but not willing to do it, capable of working but not willing to work, that's not someone who's owed anything. They're not owed anything from anybody. In fact, the Bible says about a person or a man who won't take care of his own family. He says, that man is worse than an infidel. You know why he said that? Because even infidels will take care of their children. And so the point is, since to whom it is due, that's a condition. It's not just blindly you just hand out money. And I say this because on a very regular basis, I'll get calls here for people to have their light bills paid. People who want, you know, it's the same story usually. You know, I'm in a hotel, I've got five kids, and I need to get to Portland, or I need to get to San Antonio, and I just need gas money or something like that. It's the same story. And it's just somebody who's hooked on drugs or something, and you can't take God's money and give it so that someone can do drugs with it. That's not what it's for. So there's a condition. So it at the first it sounds like, okay, we need to render aid to everybody. We need to render aid to everybody. But to whom it is due is pretty critical. And it was clear. I remember when we were talking about this stuff. It was pretty clear that some of the guys who they don't spend time in church, they're not saved, their understanding of a religious institution is it's just a homeless shelter. And that's really what it's supposed to be. It's just a homeless shelter. and you're just supposed to let people in and feed them and then, you know, pay whatever they need paid. And it's like, you can't do that. You just can't do that. So who's it owed to? Well, look in Galatians 3:10 or 6:10. This will help us sort some of this out. We've already heard a couple of conditions. There's a couple of conditions to it. You got to be kind of smart with this stuff, or at least discerning. You got to be discerning. Use some common sense about it. What is good? Who's it owed to? Galatians 6:10. This kind of covers a couple aspects of it. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men. There you go. Yeah. If they meet some qualifications, that's right. Do good unto all men. Especially, okay, now here's some, you focus in on this group now. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. All right, so now, especially if you have a need within the body, and then there's some other person who you don't really know that well, and they are saying they have a need, then the one that takes priority, especially, is the one within the body. That takes priority. So, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And then we covered 2 Thessalonians 3:10 is the one that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And then here's an interesting criteria about who do you give money to in the congregation. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Because there are some stipulations on this. Mm-hmm. If it's a brother, yeah, somebody who's in the family. Yeah, family of God, got it. All right, so First Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. This is a very specific instruction. Honor widows that are widows indeed. This is about supporting them with finances. This is what this is. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. What does that mean? You take care of mom and dad. That's not a church's responsibility. That's kids. We're going to take care of y'all. All right. Let them first learn to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate. What does that mean? She has no family. No family. Desolate, no family, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. It's kind of like Anna over there in Luke, when Jesus is brought in as a baby. Verse 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Interesting, the usage of the word dead is to live in pleasure. That's the way that's defined. Dead in trespasses and sins is to live in pleasure. That's how that's defined. Let's keep going. Verse 7. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. That's a pretty good resume. And Paul says the church is not obligated. I don't want you giving money to just somebody who's a widow and has family. The family is supposed to take care of them. And if they're a widow, if they have a history of taking care of God's ministry, and they've become a widow now, and it even gives an age. He says if they're under 60, you don't do anything with it. They got to be older than 60. Why older than 60? Probably because if you're at that age, you're not going to get a job anywhere. You're not going to be doing anything. You can't really do anything, maybe. But he gives an age, and he says, so here's the qualifications, and if you don't meet these qualifications, the church doesn't need to be sending you money. 60, 80. Let verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. That's 60. 60 years old. So there's some conditions. And then if she has a history of taking care of the saints, if she has a history of lodging strangers, wash the saints' feet, relieve the afflicted, all those things, and then she becomes a widow and she has no help and probably no opportunity for income because she's 60 or older, then okay, now you've got something you can work with. But if you don't meet these conditions, the Bible says you're not one to whom it's due. That it, you understand? That's the idea. To whom it is due. So we're trying to figure out who's it due to. Who is some of this stuff due to? What is good? Who's it due to? So there's some qualifications. There's some. Notice it doesn't. You remember when Exodus, where we're talking about like digging an ox out of a ditch or something like that, or your car out of the ditch. One of the criteria is not that if you liked them or didn't like them. That's not a criteria. Remember in Exodus it said if your enemy if their car went into a ditch, okay, you got the power to get them out. That's your job. You do that. And then we talk about finances. That's a different thing because people are always asking for money. Who's it owed to? Well, you should do good unto all men. That's do good unto all men. Now, when you're talking about giving out cash, that's a different thing. That's got some criteria to it. Who's it owed to? Do good unto all men, but especially to them who are of the household of faith. All right, so who's it owed to? And then when should it be given? In Galatians, you had the when, as we therefore have opportunity. So you may see a need, but you may not be in a position to help the need. So as you have opportunity, that's, and all these criteria come together. You've got a who, you've got a what, and now you've got a when. When you have opportunity, do good during those times when it's in the power of thine hand to do it, when thou hast it by thee. All right, so you're driving by, you've got some chains, your neighbor's in the ditch, you don't like your neighbor, but you got a truck and you got some chains. Okay, there's your win. You have it. You have opportunity. All right, so there's a win there. When should it be given? When you have opportunity. Here's another one. 1 John. When you have the power of thine hand to do it, when thou hast it by thee, as he said. Well, look at it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 is another good little cross-reference that says similar to all of this. Sometimes good is what's good and needful for the body. Sometimes good can be money. Those things can be good and helpful when they're appropriately applied. When should it be given? 1 John 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, there's a good definition there. Hath this world's good, that's what we talked about. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? There you go. My little children, Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The reason I brought up some of those conditions earlier is because just because someone says they need money doesn't mean they need money. Just because someone says they need their light bill paid doesn't mean they need their light bill paid. So you got to use discernment on that stuff. But if there's a genuine need, if there is some real trouble that's come to the family or come to brothers and sisters somewhere, and I mean it's somebody's in the hospital and they don't have working people around them, something like that, and it's come to, you know, we just don't have a way to handle what we need to handle, and you see that and you can do something about it, okay, well that is your Christian duty. That's what you're supposed to do. Not talk about love, but just do it indeed. Not to discuss it. One more time. James, I think it's James 4. And 14. This is a great cross-reference to what we just read. Before we read James, I'm going to go back to Proverbs and read this other verse here. He says, "Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I'll give, when thou hast it by thee." So someone says, "Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll help you tomorrow." So here's what James says. James 4:14. Remember, this is the guy that says, "I'll do it tomorrow." It can be applied to a lot of things, but here's how it gets applied. James 4:14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor, appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil." What he's talking about is somebody saying, "I'll do it tomorrow. We'll get to it tomorrow." And James says, "Look, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And if you can do it today, you need to do it today. You don't know that you'll have tomorrow, and to assume that you have tomorrow," he says, "that kind of boasting is evil. It's presumptuous. It assumes things about you and it assumes things about God that aren't true." Verse 16, "But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore," here's a good definition of sin, "therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." That's a very personal sin. That's not like don't murder. That's like you know what to do and you don't do it. All right, that's a strike against you. That's this guy may not have known what to do, but you knew what to do. And you had the power to do something. And you didn't do it. And so, therefore, to him to know it to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That all falls in that context, which is kind of interesting how James talks about evil here. Because you remember that the last verse in Proverbs that we read there, he said, "Devise not evil against thy neighbor." As though if I ignore a need that a neighbor has, that's almost like just I'm going to let him die in the ditch. I'm not going to take care of it. "Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee." So good and evil, to know good and evil. So the opportunity here is this. It's a generosity. Put it this way. Generosity is like the fork in the road. Where three things come together: a who, a what, and a when. Who's it due? What am I going to do? And do I have the ability to do what needs to be done? And when all those things are met with a yes, this person is due this. Yes, I have it in my power to do it. Yes, I can do what needs to be done, and then those things create this fork in the road for you to choose the good, to say, yes, okay, I will help, or to say, no, I'm not going to help. And that's what James says, to him that knoweth to do good but doeth it not, to him it's sin. Or you can choose the good, which is generosity, which is, yes, I know you legitimately need help. Yes, I can do this good. Yes, I have the power to do it right now. I can do it. And so I can now choose to do the good. That's generosity. It's a place where these things meet together. And interestingly enough, the contrast of good and evil is set here. You've got in verse 27 back in Proverbs, just simply, I'll just tell it to you, withhold not good. That's the first part of it. That's the good. And then the last part of it is devise not evil. That's good and evil. That goes all the way back to Genesis, good and evil. I know to do good, but I'm going to choose evil. I know I should be doing this, but I'm going to do this. It's good and evil. He knows good and evil now. That's a theme all through the Bible, good and evil. So generosity is when those things come together. What is good? Who is it owed to? When should it be given? Good is things which are needful for the body. Who's it owed to? Depends what you're given. And when should it be given? When you have the power to do it, when you have it in your hand, and you can render the aid that needs to be rendered. So all those things make for generosity. And generosity is just one of those aspects of faith that, or one of those applications of faith that, it's just an element of faith and faithfulness. So I hope that's helpful, and let's pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. I know we could develop some of this stuff a little bit more and talk about it a little bit more, but just understanding the convergence of these elements create an opportunity to do good or do evil. And I pray we'd keep that in mind. And I thank you for each soul that's here, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.